Former President Donald Trump scores a major legal victory. The U.S. Supreme Court rules states cannot kick him off the ballot over his actions leading up to the riot at the U.S. Capitol.
More than a dozen staff members did not report to an Orange County middle school after a student threatened an employee. How leaders are keeping students and staff safe.
And I'm tracking a low pressure system moving up the coast. I'll show you how much of our viewing area will see rain through the afternoon.
Breaking news on the eve of the Super Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court has issued a ruling that puts former President Trump back on the ballot in Colorado and Maine. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Donald Trump already called this a big win in a social media post. He's set to speak about the ruling any moment. We will monitor Trump's remarks in the WRL Live Center and keep you posted throughout the hour as we take a live look at where he is set to speak at Mar-a-Lago. Alice Barr takes a look at the 20-page Supreme Court decision and what this ruling means big picture-wise.
The Supreme Court ruled quickly today in a case that has huge implications for the upcoming election. The judges deciding unanimously that states cannot kick former President Trump off of their ballots. This reverses a Colorado Supreme Court decision where those state Supreme Court justices had said the former president should be off the ballot on grounds that he engaged in insurrection for his actions leading up to January 6th. And this all stemmed from the Constitution's 14th Amendment, a provision there. But essentially, the U.S. Supreme Court has now ruled the lower court had wrongly assumed states can determine if a presidential candidate is ineligible. That makes it clear the high court believes that Congress, not states, have authority over how to use that 14th Amendment provision. There were a number of other similar challenges out there, but this ruling applies to all states. And it comes a day before Super Tuesday, when voters in Colorado will head to the polls along with more than a dozen other states. Former President Trump celebrated the ruling on social media, calling it a big win for America. In Washington, I'm Alice Barr. Back to you.
And here in the WRL Life Center, we are monitoring reaction from across the country about this ruling. Colorado Secretary of State posting to social media platform X, writing, "I am disappointed in the U.S. Supreme Court's decision stripping states of the authority to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment for federal candidates. Colorado should be able to bar oath-breaking insurrections from our ballot." She posted that about 2 hours ago after that ruling came down. "I am monitoring reaction. I have not heard anything from Maine Secretary of State yet. As soon as I do, I will let you know from the Life Center."
And this ruling comes less than 24 hours before North Carolina's primary election. But many people already cast their ballots in this state. Early voting wrapped up Saturday after 17 days. According to data released by the state, more than 9% of the state's eligible voters went to the polls during early voting or have submitted an absentee ballot. So that's more than 689,000 ballots. Less, though, than in 2020, when nearly 794,000 people went to vote early or voted absentee ahead of Election Day. Polls open tomorrow morning at 6:30 and they close 7:30 tomorrow night. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is at a news conference organized by the State Board of Elections. She'll join us live at 12:30 with urgent reminders for voters.
More than a dozen staff members at a Carrboro middle school chose not to show up for work today. The principal says the reason is because of a student's threat. WRL's Monica Casey joins us live from McDougal Middle School to explain what we know about this threat and how the school is handling those absences. Monica.
Renee, we know that 15 staff members are not at school today. I spoke with one staff member who has serious safety concerns. This threat happened here last week, and this person tells me they are concerned the student who made that threat is not getting the help they need. This person also tells me they believe the safety plan that's been proposed is not sustainable, and they are upset with the district's handling of this situation. They believe this student poses a threat. Chapel Hill and Carrboro City Schools spokesperson Andy Jenks says the district is hearing and listening to the concerns from families and staff while also balancing the privacy and education rights of that student.
We're looking out for not just the best interests of a particular student, but also the best interests of everybody else who's inside the school at this time. And both of those can be true at the same time, but it's up to us to work with everyone involved to develop that shared understanding.
Jenks says substitute teachers and other staff have covered any vacancies today, so no impact to classes here at this time. The SRO, who usually cycles among three schools throughout the day, is also assigned here all day. Carrboro police have confirmed a juvenile petition was filed on the student who made the threat last week. Now, we have been here all morning, and we have seen a line of cars of parents picking up their students here today. I spoke with one parent who wanted to remain anonymous, who told me their children told them the student who made the threat was back in school today. That parent tells me they did not feel comfortable having their children here while that student was here as well. Renee?
So school is in session, but very unsettling for some parents and students. Monica Casey live at McDougal Middle School in Carrboro.
A coastal low is pushing rain into our area this afternoon. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at who is the most likely to see this rain during the evening commute.
Really for the folks who are farthest east, that's where we'll see it, and especially to the north and east. The low, as you can watch it, is moving northward gradually. We'd start that loop back up, and there's definitely some rain associated with this in eastern North Carolina. Some of that is starting to affect a few of our counties. We are definitely seeing some rain here in the eastern part of Halifax County, Northampton County, and almost all of Edgecombe County. We'll start to see that pushing a little farther east, too, in the next hour or two across parts of Wilson County and probably the northern part of Wayne County as well. As this low moves northward, it'll start to rotate more of this rain back just to the north and east of Raleigh. But again, we'll zoom in and you can see just east of Rocky Mount and Wilson, around Tarboro, across parts of Wilson County and Halifax County, Northampton County as well. Here's a look at Futurecast, and as we head it through the afternoon, you can see again, just really right along the I-95 corridor. Some of it by 5 o'clock might spread to the west, but it falls apart as that happens. So we're not very likely to see anything really around Raleigh or Fayetteville or certainly parts west. But as the system continues to rotate around, we might see a few more areas up in the northeast that see a few more showers before the day is over. So just some scattered light rain here. And again, picking up a little bit during the afternoon and evening. Another good soaker on Wednesday. I'll show you that coming up.
Today, Durham city leaders will vote on whether to bring back gunshot detection technology. Police say it helps them get to scenes more quickly and keeps the community safer. WRL's Laura Levine has details on the program.
The city's one-year pilot program for the gunshot detection system ended in December, and today it's back on the table for discussion, this time with a more than $650,000 price tag. So city councilors today, they're going to receive a presentation and some data from the police department and taking a closer look on whether or not they want to start a three-year contract. ShotSpotter uses sensors placed in a three-square-mile radius near downtown to detect gunshots and notify police. Data from DPD shows for the one-year pilot period, there were 1,416 ShotSpotter alerts and a total of 5,259 shots detected. That's not including New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and Independence Day. There was an average of 3.9 alerts per day and 3.7 shots per alert. 26.9% of the ShotSpotter alerts also had a resident 911 call. So in the last meeting, council members asked Chief Patrice Andrews if turning the sensors off has had any impact on their response.
We knew that we needed to get on scene and get on scene quickly. We knew that we needed to try and collect as much evidence and locate and collect as much evidence as possible. But we also respected council's decision, but that did not have an effect on how we did our work.
So far, Durham Police's response to these ShotSpotter alerts has resulted in 24 arrests. Durham Police Chief Andrews advocated in favor of the technology. She said it's significant that nearly 80% of the shooting reports to police were initiated by ShotSpotter. Durham City Council meets tonight at 7. Laura Levine, WRL News in Durham.
This morning, the Durham Board of County Commissioners discussed funding for a new emergency alert system. The county is considering the Rave Alert Pro system. The cost to the county would be about $55,000. It would allow emergency staff to send mass notifications through phone, text, and email, as well as an app. It would replace the current Alert Durham host system, which is called Everbridge.
The University of Maryland has suspended recruitment activities for all fraternities and sororities on campus, pending an investigation into alleged misconduct. School officials sent a letter to all 37 Greek organizations on campus informing them of the suspension. The letter did not describe the alleged misconduct as hazing incidents. Breaking news, the former chief financial officer of the Trump Organization pleaded guilty to two counts of perjury. Alan Weisselberg surrendered to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office this morning. He's expected to appear in court sometime within the hour. The charges are connected to testimony he gave during former President Donald Trump's civil fraud trial.
Three young people are in police custody after authorities say they stole a car and then led one of the victim's family members on a chase that involved shots being fired. A family member of the person whose car was stolen spotted it yesterday at Lyons Park off Dennis Avenue in Raleigh. A chase then began with both cars weaving through traffic and gunshots being exchanged. The chase ended when a tire went flat on the stolen car. The three people inside ran away but were caught by police. Take a look at stocks this noon. First day of trading here this week, and you can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average struggling at the moment. It's been in the red all morning long. It's down 76 points right now.
Celebrate and support our local arts community this Thursday when WREL presents Big Night In for the Arts, featuring amazing artists including Pierce Freelon and Tift Merritt, a live performance by award-winning bluegrass musician Trey Wellington, and more. Help us raise funds to create healthy, vibrant communities through the arts. Watch and donate Thursday at 7 on WREL and wherever you stream WREL.
Next at noon, an uprising in Haiti following a violent prison break. Thousands escaped. The state of emergency there and how many people were killed.
Also, winter storm warnings are still in effect in parts of California. The blizzard that shut down hundreds of miles of roads and trapped people in cars.
Plus at 12:30, what voters in our state need to know about tomorrow's Super Tuesday ballot so you can be ready to vote.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
We're following a developing story out of Haiti, where a violent prison break incites mayhem. Haiti is under a state of emergency after heavily armed gangs raided the country's two biggest prisons, freeing some 4,000 inmates. At least 12 people were killed in the jailbreak. Here's Alex Hogan.
Haiti continues to spiral into violence, and a curfew is now in effect for the capital, Port-au-Prince, following days of highly coordinated gang attacks across the city. Armed groups have burned down police stations, attacked stadiums and airports, and on Sunday, more than 4,000 inmates from Haiti's national penitentiary escaped in a massive prison break, leading to multiple revenge killings both inside the building and on the streets of Port-au-Prince.
It was a very difficult situation. The riot in the prison, our lives were at risk. What we did was shelter ourselves. There were a lot of shots. We were afraid for our lives.
Gang violence is nothing new in Haiti. Organized criminals already control roughly 80% of the capital. But now some are making direct challenges to the country's political system, calling for the overthrow of the government and the arrest of Prime Minister Ariel Henry.
We are demanding that the police and the military take responsibility and arrest Ariel Henry. Our men with weapons are not your enemy.
Meanwhile, a new agreement will see Kenyan peacekeepers deployed in Haiti, and they say they'll take the fight directly to the gangs.
We are making this response because it is what is right. It is what humanity, it is what humankind can do.
What this mission is bringing is hope for the future. Hope for the future for the humankind.
That was Alex Hogan reporting. Now, because of the escalating violence, the Biden administration has canceled all official travel to Haiti and urged Americans to leave as soon as possible.
Two people are accused of stealing nearly 600 Venus flytrap plants from a nature conservancy near Wilmington. Someone reported seeing the two people digging up the plants last month. Those people were later found at a nearby gas station, and police reportedly found the plants in their backpacks. The rare Venus flytrap is native to the state, and stealing them is a felony.
They're an odd plant. People like to dig them and resell them. either on the black market or even locally sometime.
Authorities say the plants begin to bud flowers this time of year, and that makes them easier for thieves to find. People often dig them up and sell them on the black market, like you said.
Five wildfires are still burning in the Texas Panhandle. The fires have killed at least two people and burned more than 1 million acres in their first week. Weather conditions across the state have made battling the fires difficult. As of Friday afternoon, as many as 500 structures have been destroyed. Winter storm warnings are in effect for much of Northern California. This is a live look right now in California. Meteorologists do not expect them to expire until early Wednesday morning. Look at all that snow. California highways were shut down yesterday as a powerful blizzard pounded parts of the Golden State. Hundreds of travelers were trapped in their vehicles for hours, and more than 300 vehicles were stranded. Some areas experienced howling winds with gusts that hit 190 miles per hour. That's well above the 157-mile-per-hour threshold for a Category 5 hurricane.
College basketball has a new all-time leading scorer. Congratulations are pouring in now from around the sports world for Caitlin Clark.
This for college basketball history.
She does it with a foul shot. So cool. With that free throw, Clark broke the all-time scoring record for any college player, man or woman. LeBron James and Billie Jean King are just two of the legends who posted their congratulations to Clark on social media. And just moments after Clark broke the record, Nike launched a new commercial celebrating her accomplishments. ESPN's College Game Day is coming back to the Triangle, this time to Durham. The Game Day team will be at Cameron Indoor Stadium this Saturday for the men's basketball regular season finale. It's also part two of the Battle of the Blues. Duke is looking for revenge on their home court after UNC beat them 93-84 at the Smith Center. Doors for Game Day open at 9:30 at Cameron. The show starts at 10 o'clock. Admission for that is free. Ticket for the game will cost you a pretty penny.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's going to end up being a rainy day for a lot of us, so we're waiting on the rain. We have the overcast skies, but Elizabeth Gardner is tracking where that rain is right now.
Yeah, it's hugging the coast right there. It's all going to be in eastern North Carolina, as we were talking about earlier, really right along the I-95 corridor and eastward. That low will just continue to trek right up the coast and away from us as we head into this evening. So right now, we're looking at a little bit of rain there in Wilson County, Edgecombe County, Halifax, Northampton County, and of course right there is I-95. It may push a little bit farther inland, maybe all the way up to around Wake County, but fizzle out really before it makes it to Raleigh or Fayetteville for that matter. And we might see some of it approaching the I-85 corridor later on this evening. Here's a closer look in, and you can see just starting to move into Wilson right now. Probably that first little bit isn't reaching the ground, but I've got the Wilson camera ready to go for you. Little sprinkle in Rocky Mount, Pine Tops over through parts of Edgecombe County, and then of course northward on up into Halifax County and Northampton County. Once again, we'll take a look at future cast by 2 o'clock. Again, I kind of see in that rain right there along the I-95 corridor starting to push westward, but then fizzles out. But more of it rotates around to the north. So again, looking at Roanoke Rapids, most likely South Hill, Warrenton, maybe Henderson, Rocky Mount. See a little bit more of that from the evening commute through dinner time. We take a live look at Wilson right now, and definitely cloudy. The wind is blowing as that system gets a little closer. It looks like the street might be on the damp side, but again, that rain has just started. I'm not seeing any rain on the camera lens, but certainly there is some rain, at least sitting over that spot on the radar. 67 right now, so it's another warm day. We're not going to hit 74 like we did yesterday, but still going to be very warm. Our dew point 53 means that there's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, and we'll hold it in the 60s all the way through the evening. Right now, it's 68 in South Hill, 67 in Durham, 70 already in Fayetteville, 63 degrees in Southern Pines. Looking at 69 for the high in Raleigh in Durham and 71 in Fayetteville. Election Day planner for tomorrow looks great. This whole system is going to continue to lift north through Virginia and on up into the northeast. It'll be a pleasant start tomorrow morning with temperatures in the mid-50s as the polls open. We'll see a high of 72 under partly cloudy skies, and as polls close, temperatures will be in the mid to upper 60s. I mean, it's hard to find a more perfect day in March. Speaking of perfect days in March, if you like it warm, look at this. These red and orange colors indicate warmer than normal temperatures, which will take us all the way through the weekend. And as a matter of fact, as we look ahead, it's probably going to take us all the way through maybe March 17th. So normal high is 60, 69 for today, 72, and then in the 60s for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And for the first time in recorded history, all of us snow lovers are crying. We've had no snow. Now, you've heard us talk about the fact that it's been more than 700 days since we had measurable snow, but at least there was a trace of snow some of those years. For the first time, we've had no trace of snow since 1887 when records have been held. That is not the kind of record I want to see, but I know it is for some people. All right, Saturday and Sunday, we have some more showers in the forecast, as well as Wednesday. We'll take a closer look at that coming up.
And now that it's March, I'm glad there's no snow. We don't need any more snow now. Till later this year. Inspections aren't just for homes built years ago. Five on Your Side explains why it's important to have a brand new home inspected before you buy.
And investigators rarely speak about gang violence in and around Wake County, but tonight at 6, WRL investigator Sarah Kruger speaks with a recently retired gang investigator, sharing never-before details about their presence. And no deal. JetBlue calls off a billion-dollar merger that would have created the fifth largest airline in the U.S. What prompted that decision?
Plus, the first over-the-counter birth control pill is now available. How women can also get a supply at a discount.
And we bring you back this noon with a live look at North Hills as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
A little bit of sunshine there. Well, JetBlue has ended their merger agreement with Spirit Airlines. A federal judge blocked the proposed merger in January after the Justice Department sued to stop the merger. The department argued airfares would go up if Spirit was no longer independent. Some industry analysts have said there was little chance that an appeal would succeed in this case. JetBlue's proposed purchase of Spirit would have created the country's fifth largest airline. Starting this summer, American Airlines will be the first U.S. carrier with a direct flight from New York City to Tokyo. The flight to Japan will take about 12 hours and 50 minutes, but because it crosses the international dateline, it seems like the return to the U.S. takes no time at all. You take off and land on the same day. Tickets for the new flight are already on sale. United Airlines offers direct flights from Newark to Narita, Japan.
General Motors is expanding its North American recall for potentially faulty tailgates in trucks. The expansion comes after GM announced a recall earlier this month that affected approximately 323,000 U.S. vehicles. GM says more than 570,000 trucks may be affected by this issue. Initially, it was just over 320,000 that were thought to be affected in the U.S., and models include 2020 through 24 Chevy Silverados and GMC Sierras. No deaths or injuries have been reported. Apple has several releases planned this spring, but the company may not make a big production out of them. They may skip over a spring event in favor of launching new products on its website. These include a revamped iPad Pro with a faster chip and better screen. Apple is also expected to update the iPad Air. Both would be the first new iPad since 2022.
In less than 24 hours, voters in our state will head to the polls for the 2024 primary election. We'll share some vital reminders from the State Board of Elections after the break.
Plus, remembering the fight for voting rights, how Vice President Kamala Harris is using the anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma nearly 60 years ago to highlight the present-day war in Gaza. And here's a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Tomorrow is election day for the 2024 primaries. State lawmakers made a number of changes to election laws last year that you'll probably notice when you go to your polling place.
The state elections officials held a news conference about those changes today, and WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the Emergency Operations Center, where that news conference just wrapped up. Laura, what came out of this?
Jeff, you know, you're likely to notice a number of changes when you go to the polls tomorrow. These are the ones that election officials especially wanted to make sure that you know about. First and foremost, you'll need to bring a photo ID in order to vote tomorrow. For most people, that'll be a driver's license. If you don't have a driver's license or a passport or another approved form of ID, you can vote a provisional ballot, but it may not be counted. Second, it's going to take longer to see results tomorrow night. In the past, election officials in North Carolina could tabulate both the in-person early voting and mail-in early votes and release those results at 7:30 when the polls close on Election Day. Lawmakers changed that. State Elections Director Karen Brinson Bell says counties are now not allowed to tabulate early in-person votes until 7:30 when the polls have closed.
This may mean a delay in those early voting results, those 670,000 ballots that have been cast thus far. We will not see those results posted to our website until after 7:30 p.m. So for some, it may be 30 minutes. For other counties that have multiple early voting sites, it may be an hour to 2 hours before we see those posted.
All right. Third, there's no longer a 3-day grace period for mail-in ballots to be accepted as long as they're postmarked by Election Day. That used to be the law. It is no longer the case. So if you still have a mail-in ballot that you have not yet mailed, Bell recommends that you don't try. She said either hand deliver that to your county board of elections by 7:30 on Tuesday night, or you can discard it and vote in person at your assigned polling place. Another reminder, and this one a very important one, about your cell phone. You can take your cell phone into the voting booth with you for reference purposes, but you cannot call anyone, you can't take any pictures or make any recordings while you're in the voting enclosure. It is actually a crime, yes, a crime in North Carolina to take a picture of your filled out ballot. If you want to take a voting selfie, a lot of polling places will have a place outside the voting enclosure where you can do that. Jeff?
Super important information right there for a lot of folks. And number one on the list, get out and vote, definitely. All right. Thanks, Laura Leslie, live for us this noon.
Today, owners of local Black-owned businesses will meet for a panel discussion about ways to grow within their communities. Congressman Wiley Nickel is hosting the event at 3 this afternoon at the Garner Chamber of Commerce. 8 local business owners will be part of a roundtable discussion. We'll talk about the importance of access to capital and affordable housing, among other topics. WRAL is your Super Tuesday election night headquarters. We'll have the fastest results as they're counted on WRAL TV, WRAL.com, and the WRAL News app. Look for updates on all the big races every 30 minutes after the polls close on WRAL News Plus, which you can find on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum 1257, your smart TV, and mobile devices. Throughout the night, on air and online, we'll have insight and analysis from our NC Capital team.
And for national coverage, NBC News will have a full wrap-up of Super Tuesday results from across the country at 10 o'clock on WRAL. Our team of reporters will have you covered with the local races at 10 o'clock on Fox 50, and then at 11 on WRAL. We'll have it all for you, the big local and state races, and a recap of Super Tuesday from around the country.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Massachusetts Air National Guard member Jack Teixeira has pleaded guilty to leaking highly classified military documents. This is him here. He admitted today to illegally collecting military secrets and sharing them on Discord, which is a social media platform. He worked as a cyber transport system specialist. Essentially, he was responsible for military communications. He has been behind bars since April of last year. He does remain an Air National Guard in unpaid status. Prosecutors are planning to seek 17 years in prison.
Michelle, thanks. Controversy on campus at the University of Florida after the school eliminated all diversity, equity, and inclusion positions. The decision is in line with a new state rule that prohibits DEI programs, and other GOP-led states could soon follow. NBC's Marissa Parra spoke with students and faculty to get their take on the decision.
The University of Florida slashing all diversity, equity, and inclusion roles across campus.
Quite disappointed by it. I think that the university administration has let us down in this regard.
The school announcing it will reallocate the $5 million initially used for DEI expenses, adding it will also eliminate roughly 30 jobs.
I've seen people saying, you know, thank God we can save $5 million a year. And then I've seen other people saying, you know, this is like horrible.
The school's director of African American Studies says this decision goes much further than the university.
So there might be a long-term impact in terms of recruiting high-end talent.
based on the fear that, you know, this state isn't welcoming to diversity and inclusion.
The University of Florida joining other schools in the state that have also cut their DEI programs.
This has basically been used as a veneer to impose an ideological agenda.
All of this comes nearly a year after Governor Ron DeSantis signed a law banning Florida's public universities from spending federal and state money on DEI initiatives. DeSantis reacting to the Gainesville University's decision, tweeting, "Florida is where DEI goes to die." But critics of his say they think the push to end DEI comes from a fundamental misunderstanding on what DEI really is.
Governor DeSantis sees DEI as toxic. People love to think that DEI is only for African Americans, which is not true. It also applies to white women, Asian Americans, LGBTQ, disability students.
An NBC News analysis shows GOP lawmakers across more than 30 states have introduced measures to either limit or eliminate DEI initiatives altogether during this legislative session alone. In Texas, a sweeping new ban on DEI across all state universities took effect at the start of the new year. While the future is unclear how many other GOP-led states will follow suit, one thing is certain. The battle for control over higher ed just beginning. Marissa Parra, NBC News, Gainesville, Florida.
People from all around the country gathered in Selma, Alabama this weekend to remember Bloody Sunday. 59 years ago, police attacked hundreds of peaceful civil rights demonstrators as they marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. In remarks, Vice President Kamala Harris honored the legacy of the civil rights movement, saying the fight for freedom continues.
Our fight for freedom is not over. Because in this moment, we are witnessing a full-on attack on hard-fought, hard-won freedoms. Starting with the freedom that unlocks all others, the freedom to vote.
Harris also used the event to call out Israel for not doing enough to ease a humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. Loud cheers erupted from the crowd as she insisted on a 6-week ceasefire.
The first birth control pills available without a prescription in the U.S. When women can start buying them online or at the pharmacy.
Plus, a fresh crew of astronauts is on its way to the International Space Station. What they'll be doing while in orbit, how long they'll stay there. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRAL News app.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Duke University Health System say they are lifting their visitor restrictions in their hospitals. They say they're doing this because respiratory illnesses are on the decline in the triangle. So they say they will be going to tier one visitation status. That means that up to 4 visitors are allowed at a time. Also, visiting hours for maternity and emergency departments, there will be 24/7 access. They do say that masking precautions may apply to certain patient populations. We've also reached out to Wake Med to see if they've changed their visitation status. They say their restrictions are still in place. Visitors at hospital units must be at least 12 years old. We've also reached out to UNC. We have not heard back yet.
Thanks, Michelle. Also in health news, an estimated 37 million Americans have chronic kidney disease, and most of them don't know it. In fact, a person can lose up to 60% of their kidney function before noticing any health problems. You can protect your kidneys by preventing or managing health conditions that cause kidney damage, like diabetes and high blood pressure, and see a provider right away if you develop a urinary tract infection that can cause kidney damage if left untreated.
The first over-the-counter birth control pill approved in the U.S. will soon be available in stores and online. O-Pill can be bought directly from its own website in the coming days. It could take a few weeks for the medication to reach pharmacies. The company says when taken as directed, O-Pill is 98% effective at preventing pregnancy. That's in line with the effectiveness of most birth control pills.
After 2 failed attempts, NASA and SpaceX launched a crew of 4 to the International Space Station. We'll tell you how long they plan to stay there and what they hope to accomplish during the mission.
Plus, smoking for good health? How can that be? We'll explain how cigars brought in a hefty amount at auction and the good it will do.
Four astronauts are currently headed to the International Space Station, and they're about 15 hours away from docking.
The crew will spend the next 6 months there conducting scientific research. Jonathan Sary explains how their work in orbit will benefit us here on Earth.
Four more humans are in low Earth orbit after an overnight launch that lit up the night sky over Florida's Space Coast.
Engines full power and liftoff of NASA Crew 8. Go Falcon, go SpaceX, and go NASA.
Perched atop a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, a Dragon space capsule named Endeavour carried three NASA astronauts and one Russian cosmonaut into space. They'll spend the next 6 months aboard the International Space Station conducting experiments, including studies on the effects of long-duration space travel on the human body. One of the astronauts, Michael Barat, is also a medical doctor.
Between this last flight and this flight, I actually put out the second edition of a space medicine textbook. And we're actually in the process of doing a third edition of that space medicine textbook. And each time I do that, I try to figure out how right we are. And then I fly. I've done that twice. And I figure out how wrong we are because we keep discovering new things.
That was Jonathan Sary reporting. NASA officials are especially interested in these studies because later this decade, they hope to send astronauts on long-duration missions to the lunar South Pole. So much exciting stuff happening with NASA and up there in space. Back here on Earth, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking our weather, and we're waiting on that rain that's hugging the coast right now.
Yeah, most of us are not going to see it today, which is fine. We have a lot of rain in our forecast for Wednesday, and I'm going to show you that coming up in just a few minutes. But it's definitely cloudy. Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill seeing a little bit of blue sky. The farther west you are, like Chapel Hill, the more certain we are that you're not going to see any rain today. You can see a little blue sky there, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant in Fayetteville there, our newsroom on Hay Street. So here's what's happening. We have a coastal low that is moving up the coast right now. It's just going to continue to almost head due north, maybe even a little bit northeast. It has winds that rotate counterclockwise, which is what a low does, and it is pushing some rain into eastern North Carolina. As that low moves away, of course, it's going to take the rain along with it, and it just isn't going to have enough oomph to push too much in our direction. So a little bit of light patchy rain may bring a sprinkle or two in Goldsboro. Nothing really reaching the ground right now, but showing with some rain there in Wilson County, Edgecombe County, Halifax, and Northampton counties. We'll zoom in. You can see here in Roanoke Rapids. This is the part of the viewing area that's most likely to see any of that rain. As the low moves northward, it's going to push more of this rain back to the west. So I would say from Henderson through Warrenton, Roanoke Rapids, Enfield, even up in South Hill, Virginia, that's going to be the area most likely to see rain. A little bit of light rain in Goldsboro could press past Rocky Mount a little bit toward Nashville and maybe even Smithfield, but we're just not going to see much rain out of the system today. So far, the rain along the coast and just inland of the coastal plain has been just a trace. You can see the green area showing up there, and we just stuck a pin there, and it's just a trace. Here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see around 3 o'clock this just a little light band of rain pushes through and then fizzles out before it reaches the triangle area, but more of that comes swinging past up here to the north, again from Rocky Mount up towards South Hill, as well as Warrenton and Roanoke Rapids. We're looking at a much better chance for rain on Wednesday. This starts early in the morning with a warm front moving through. You can see the yellow and the oranges. Likely have a few rumbles of thunder when the cold front comes through later in the afternoon and evening, but right now it doesn't look like we would see any severe storms out of this. How much rainfall for Wednesday? It's a good bit. It's going to be with us almost all day long, anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to an inch to maybe even 1.5 inches in some of our eastern counties. So just a small chance for rain today in our eastern counties, a 90% chance on Wednesday. And then Saturday also looks like it could be wet as well. Temperatures will be nice and warm. Earlier we talked about our voting forecast for Tuesday. It looks gorgeous, mostly sunny, 72. And then rain and a few isolated thunderstorms for most of the day Wednesday. Thursday and Friday are fairly dry, but we'll see the rain picking up Friday night into Saturday. It does taper off on Sunday. And of course, don't forget Saturday, we spring forward and go back to daylight time.
A rare Lego collectible sells for big bucks at auction. The massive amount of cash this gold mask raked in, and how the organization plans to use the money. Clouds hanging over Durham right there as we wrap things up for you this noon with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The Supreme Court unanimously restored Donald Trump to the 2024 presidential primary ballots today. This is a live look from Mar-a-Lago, where he is addressing the media right now. This decision rejects states' attempts to ban the Republican former president over the Capitol riot. The justices ruled states cannot invoke a post-Civil War constitutional provision to keep presidential candidates from appearing on ballots.
Today, North Carolina's election officials let voters know what to expect at the polls tomorrow for Super Tuesday. You will need to bring a photo ID in order to vote. It's also going to take longer to see results tomorrow night. We explain why and have everything you need to know on WRAL.com.
More than a dozen staff members at a Carrboro Middle School chose not to show up for work today. The principal says the reason is because of a student's threat. Chapel Hill and Carrboro City Schools spokesperson says the district is hearing and listening to the concerns from families and staff about safety, while also balancing the privacy and education rights of that student.
A 10-year-old Wake Forest girl received an incredible gift over the weekend. Morgan Jenkins has been in the Abilities Tennis Program for 2 years. She's been in physical therapy since she was 15 months old with an unknown diagnosis. Throughout the program, Morgan has shown her dedication to tennis with a wheelchair that did not allow her to move freely around the court. Now, the Abilities Tennis Association of North Carolina has bought her a sport chair that allows her to fully participate in tennis. How awesome is that?
The Cigar Festival of Havana raked in more than $19 million for the island's healthcare system. Top-shelf Cuban cigars, considered among the best in the world, went on the block. In a smoke-filled room, cigar aficionados from 108 countries sampled and placed their bids on the island's most famous export. The biggest delegation was from China, which has become a major market for cigars.
A Goodwill store in Pennsylvania cashed in on a collectible Lego mask. Goodwill found the rare mask in a bag of jewelry. It is part of Lego's Bionicle universe of creatures. The 1-inch 14-karat gold mask sold for more than $18,000. Only 30 of these were made in 2001. 25 were given to Lego employees, and the remaining were given away in a contest. The Goodwill staff said they had no idea about its rarity. The money will be used to help people with life challenges and provide job training opportunities for them.
Our pet of the day has been in the shelter for far too long, 100 days, and we just know her people are out there somewhere. This is Hershey. The staff at Love Mutts says her sweet nature will make a wonderful companion. Her stunning golden eyes are sure to mesmerize you. She looks like a Labrador Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Hershey is just a year old. She's great with other dogs and loves to take long walks. You can meet Hershey by appointment and even foster to adopt her for 2 weeks. Apply now on lovemuttsrescue.org.
Inspections aren't just for homes that are several years old or older. Today on WRAL News at 4, 5 on Your Side explains why it's worth it to have a brand new home inspected before you buy.
An unusual chase on a busy interstate in Cleveland involved two galloping suspects. Look at this video from the Ohio Department of Transportation showed two horses weaving through traffic on Interstate 90 Saturday. Cleveland police say the horses were from their mounted unit and had somehow escaped their stables. They were eventually caught and returned back to work.
Wrong way. Yeah, right. Go the other way. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with the WRAL News app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.